The second biggest question is, what is the role of maintenance rituximab in follicular lymphoma? One other question is, what is maintenance rituximab? There are about five different strategies that have been published. There is four doses every 6 months for 2 years. There is one dose every 2 months times four. There is one dose every 3 months for 2 years. There's one dose every 3 months till progression. There's a regimen based on blood levels. So we don't know what the best way is, but we also don't know what patients benefit, if any, from maintenance rituximab. The ECOG and CLGB collaborated in a study in which patients received CVP as their initial therapy and then were randomized to maintenance rituximab or observation. There was a longer progression-free survival with the maintenance, but no survival benefit. The study is only marginally relevant now because no one gets CVP anymore. They get RCVP. And we don't know whether maintenance rituximab is of benefit in patients who got R chemotherapy. If one extrapolates from the large cell data, another ECOG-CLGB study published by Tom Haberman, patients were randomized to CHOP versus R-CHOP for their large cell lymphoma, and then with a secondary randomization to maintenance rituximab or not. The patients who got R-CHOP up front had no benefit from the maintenance rituximab. Can you extrapolate that to follicular? I don't know. There is a study that was completed about a year and a half ago called the PRIMA trial. And this was conducted primarily in Europe. Patients were treated with a regimen selected by their institution. There were a couple of choices, R-CHOP, R-CVP, R-FCM. And then they were randomized to maintenance rituximab or not. So this addresses the question, does maintenance rituximab benefit patients who got R-chemo? The study is maturing, the data from the study are maturing, and if they show a meaningful benefit, I think that will certainly affect practice. There are issues with maintenance rituximab. It is not innocuous. For one thing, it's expensive and does require patients to come in and get stuck. Two, if you look at the randomized trials of maintenance rituximab versus not, there is more neutropenia, more infections, and more hospitalizations during the maintenance than without. And there's this risk of PML, progressive multifocal leukoencephalopathy, that has been reported particularly in patients with multiple sclerosis, but also in a small number of patients with lymphoma on rituximab. Now, there are some data in the relapse setting suggesting a survival benefit from rituximab maintenance. In a study from Van Oers et al., they did a study in pretty much minimally pretreated patients with follicular lymphoma. And those patients were treated with CHOP versus R-CHOP and maintenance versus no maintenance rituximab. And indeed, there was not only a progression-free survival benefit, but a survival benefit from the rituximab maintenance in that setting. So the question is still out there, and the answer is still controversial.
How do you, yourself, in your own practice, in a non-protocol situation, approach the issue of rituximab maintenance?
I do not use rituximab maintenance. There may be less than a handful of patients that I've used it on over the years, mostly a number of years ago, before much of the data came out, when it was still looking very promising. Now, with the increased adverse events and the lack of any survival benefit that I've seen up front, I don't tend to do it. I will change my practice if the randomized trials suggest reasonable benefit.